Welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot. The Department of Homeland Security confirmed last Friday that more than 2,000 children were separated from their parents at the border in the 6 weeks from April 19th to May 31st. Last month, the administration publicly announced its decision to charge every adult caught crossing the border illegally with federal crimes, as opposed to referring those with children mainly to immigration courts, as previous administrations did. As a result of this new policy, a humanitarian and political crisis on the border with Mexico has ensued. Today on the show, we'll be hearing from two Colorado organizations that provide resources and legal aid to immigrants. We'll hear from Tom Acker from the Hispanic Affairs Project, a grassroots organization serving Western Colorado, and the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, a statewide organization advocating for workable, fair, and humane immigration policies. The Hispanic Affairs Project is a grassroots organization working in rural and urban areas in western Colorado, including Mesa, Delta, Montrose, San Miguel, Ouray, and Gunnison counties. Their goal is to provide leadership development, community organizing, and the provision of key services for immigrant integration. I have Tom Acker on the phone with me today. He is the president of the board of directors for this organization. Welcome to Local Motion, Tom.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you giving me the time to talk to you.
First, I wanted to ask you why you became involved with the Hispanic Affairs Project.
I have been involved in issues related to immigration and the relationship with Central America and the Southern Hemisphere since the 70s. And when I moved into the Grand Valley back in 99, it was evident that the demographic living here was living in kind of a precarious existence. And the Catholic Church was also a mechanism that introduced me to issues of social justice. So those two things combined with the political reality here. In 2003, they passed the Show Me Your Papers legislation. I think it was 2003. It may have been 2006. Which provoked a response on the part of a number of different allies, Catholic Church, immigrant rights organizations, United States bishops. And the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition was just forming, as were was HAP, Hispanic Affairs Project, here in the Valley. And that's pretty much where things got started for me. I just began my participation with those groups back then, and have been involved with them ever since.
One of the main things that this organization does is they provide legal assistance to people who are going through the immigration process. What are you helping people with? What are the things that they're coming for assistance with? And how is this assistance provided to low-income individuals and families?
We had two people certified to advise people on issues related to immigration. And those two people have been reduced to one. But the issues that Marqueta, our colleague in Gunnison, is working with, and she's also supporting the work that's going on here in Mesa County and outlying counties. Issues related to the DACA, if you were a DACA student and you needed, or a DACA individual that needed to update their DACA certification, was one of the issues they worked with. Naturalization and other issues that might be related to naturalization. They would provide an interview opportunity so that people that were uncertain about what steps needed to be taken to gain legal presence in the country could find out whether they should proceed or whether their situation may preclude them from even attempting to get legal presence in the country. So those were the kind of broad sketch of what services in that context Hispanic Affairs Project was able to provide.
Do you have a lot of people utilizing the service?
The numbers varied depending on what issues and what moment. When we initially were given the opportunity through the Obama administration for people to apply for DACA. There was, you know, as you can imagine, a groundswell of people asking for that. Upwards of 200 people were provided that service in our immediate community. And subsequent to that, there have been people applying for that certification since then. So that service is still being provided as long as DACA is a viable opportunity for those people that qualify. Other services, again, the naturalization. With the current political climate, people are more likely to apply for naturalization that previously may have been living here with simply a green card. That's something else that is increasing.
Another service that the organization provides is a community resource center where people can get help with integration once they have immigrated. You can also get information there about labor rights. Tell me more about the resources and education part of the Hispanic Affairs Project.
So Hispanic Affairs Project has a number of collaborations that they're working with right now. One of them is a grant that they received in connection with CICASA, the Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault. And that is enabled HAP to hire a full-time social worker that is reaching out to community members to inform them about sexual assault, domestic violence, and even human trafficking. And that has provided an opportunity to allow people that may be at risk of suffering from these crimes to come out and feel comfortable, because otherwise their only resource or recourse may have been speaking to law enforcement. And of course, if you are here undocumented in the United States, speaking to law enforcement oftentimes would not be an option, for fear of deportation of your partner. So those types of services is one of the things that HAP has provided. And of course, when you inform people about issues related to domestic violence and sexual assault, you also need to help them access services. And so the collaborations that occur with Colorado organizations, the Victims Assistance, COVA, or Hilltop, or the Department of Human Services. These collaborations are something that HAP facilitates in our five-county area. Also, I need to mention that HAP works closely as the fiduciary agent for Western Slope Against Trafficking, WASAT, of which I am a member, and that informs people of human trafficking. The Colorado Human Trafficking Council has developed trainings that we are able to go out and inform people about what human trafficking is, how to avoid it, what to do if you find somebody that is a victim of human trafficking, etc. So lots of areas that are available that HAP provides in informing people about the reality where they're living and resources available to them.
One of Trump's main campaign issues was immigration, and with the situation that's happening on the border right now, of course, it's sort of a national conversation. And what I'm hearing a lot of both parties saying is that the immigration system is broken. What are your thoughts on that, and what are some things that you think can fix it if it is indeed broken?
I think realistically, we need to, number one, consider, first of all, that immigration is a positive thing. Immigration is a demonstration of the success of the republic that was, you know, invented back in the 18th century, that we are successful. We're successful because we bring in people from other areas with other specialties, with other perspectives, and we can look at our successes in the Grand Valley here, where agriculture would not exist if it weren't for the immigrant population, where construction would be largely undermanned if it were not for the immigrant workers that are there, the hotel industry, the restaurant industry, the food industry. All of these areas are dependent upon immigrant for either ownership of these businesses. Immigrants tend to have their own businesses rather than be employees if they have the option. And then if we look to our country with a population of 380 million, I think, and counting, we have an older population. Our population is dropping in terms of number of offspring being born to older Americans, baby boomers, etc. So we will benefit from a younger population. And frankly, you know, I'm a baby boomer. I'm 63. When I start accessing my Social Security, I hope that there's a workforce there that's going to be paying into it. I hope that there's going to be an employee that will be taking care of me in a nursing home or in a hospital. Many of those positions are filled by immigrants, and certainly the demographics need to grow. So I think it's silly to consider that we are being better served by stopping the immigrant flow. In real terms, the numbers of immigrants that are allowed to come into this country, the number of people that are allowed to come in visas, is minuscule compared to what it would naturally be if we didn't have constraints put on it. People in the European Union can live in other countries, and they don't have to do anything exceptional. They don't have to show passports. They have one currency. There's lots of ways that other areas in the world have addressed the immigration issue. Australia is always looking for immigrants as well. And so Canada, our northern neighbor, is also welcoming immigrants. I don't understand why we all of a sudden have become a country that is saying that immigration is bad when in fact it's beneficial.
How can people be involved locally to help educate themselves, be allies to the immigrant community in Western Colorado, and be helpful and supportive if that's what they want to do?
Well, one of the best means I would suggest is seek out alternative media. Look to sources of information that maybe come from BBC, Democracy Now! They provide information about what is the actual situation, so you can hear the voices of the immigrants, so you can hear the voices of people in Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador that are suffering really terrible crime waves, partially due to the policies of our country, unfortunately. We need to step up and interact with local organizations. Hispanic Affairs Project has its local committees down in Montrose and in Gunnison. I know that there are local committees there as well. Hispanic Affairs Project is also active, and we have a comité up here in Grand Junction in the Grand Valley as well. That would be two ways that I would suggest people can be informed and be participative. There are a lot of ally organizations, especially faith groups, that are stepping up right now and supporting immigrant rights. If you are a member of a church or a faith group, you may want to contact the social justice committee in your church and see what you can do through the faith group in supporting immigrant rights. And if you feel that something's wrong, let your political representative know that you feel that they need to speak out and change what's going on.
I've been talking to Tom Acker, and he is the president of the board of directors of the Hispanic Affairs Project, a local organization here in Western Colorado, with the goal of helping immigrants and providing resources for them as they go through the immigration process. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition is a statewide membership-based coalition of immigrant, faith, labor, youth, community, business, and ally organizations, founded in 2002 to improve the lives of immigrants and refugees by making Colorado a more welcoming, immigrant-friendly state. They achieve this mission through public education and advocating for workable, fair, and humane immigration policies, And I'm speaking today with the communications manager for this organization, Christian Solano Cordova. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, Allie.
The Department of Homeland Security confirmed last Friday that more than 2,000 children were separated from their parents at the border. And I know that your organization has probably been busy over the past couple of weeks learning about this development and responding to it in various ways. Can you talk about how Colorado organizations and legislators are responding to this situation?
Yeah, you know, I think people across the board are very upset and angry about this issue. We saw a lot of people that usually are not, don't usually work with our organization, set up their own rallies around this and organize around this. So we're seeing a lot of momentum. I think our executive director had been in conversation with the governor about putting out a statement yesterday morning. And as you saw, he ended up signing an executive order, barring the use of state resources for family separation. So I see a lot of energy around this issue. This family separation issue really goes really deep into people's hearts. When you see, a child's face and terror on their face because they don't know when they're going to see their parent again. You know, I'm a dreamer. My parents came to this country to make a better life for all of us. And I think a lot of people are really starting to understand that they would do anything for their own children. So why are we punishing people for doing the same, doing the human thing that any of us would do for our children? So I think that message is really starting to click with a lot of people. And it's been, for how horrendous this is, it's been a lot of energy for this issue right now.
Part of what your organization does is you work to increase public awareness about the social and economic contributions of immigrants. Can you tell me about that focus?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I pay local taxes, I pay state taxes, I pay federal taxes. Me, my mom, and my sister, all of whom are undocumented, we pay into Medicare, we pay into Medicaid, we pay into Social Security, yet we are not eligible for any of those benefits and won't be because of our status. Yet somehow, the president has the gall to call us, burdens when we are sitting here working our butts off to make the best of ourselves and our communities. We are paying taxes and we're not eligible for benefits. So, I think it might be very easy for the president to sell this to a lot of people in a lot of rural areas of our state that might never have even met an immigrant. But I think that for the vast majority of us who have met an immigrant, who have worked with immigrants, we understand that immigrants are an integral part of our communities, not just, upholding our families, the core unit in our society, but also, stimulating the economy. Dreamers, the 17,000 Dreamers here in Colorado contribute almost $1 billion to the economy every year. And I think those are some of the things that the president doesn't ever mention. He focuses on some outliers, people that, are criminals. But to paint all of our communities this way is insincere and, dishonest at worst. I'm not a person to really say like what the president's intentions are by speaking this way, but those of us that work with immigrants every single day know how important and invaluable we are to our communities. Ripping our immigrants away from our communities would be, like taking the bottom card of House of Cards. The whole economy in a lot of places here in Colorado really depends on immigrant labor. And I think that's why we've seen a lot of movement here in Colorado. We've had a lot of rural agricultural folks come out and support our immigrant communities. And so I'm very thankful to be in here in Colorado where I think the realities of the immigration system really are closer to people's pocketbook. And so it kind of forces some of these more conservative aspects of our society to actually come out in support of immigrants. because at the end of the day, our agricultural sector, a lot of our services sector, construction, those are things that depend on immigrant labor.
Can you talk about some of the misconceptions that you're seeing that maybe your organization is trying to dispel or educate people about in terms of how immigration works, maybe what's working with the system we currently have, what's not working?
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak from personal experience. People all the time, being a dreamer, people all the time tell me, well, why don't you just go and apply and get a citizenship? You are doing this just so you don't have to pay taxes. But that is the furthest thing from the truth. I think what most Americans don't realize is that going through this immigration system isn't like going to the DMV and getting a driver's license or an ID. Like, this system can take decades, longer than a lot of these people fleeing from these countries can afford to wait. In my case, I have two aunts who are U.S. citizens, and my mom applied for a family-sponsored visa back in 1999. That is almost 20 years ago. And for people from specific countries that have a lot of people that want to immigrate here, such as Mexico, China, India, or the Philippines, the wait time can be up to a quarter of a century. That's just one specific case through one specific avenue. What most people don't realize is that there aren't very many ways for people to earn citizenship. For example, dreamers like me, if we came here without a visitor visa, then we came here and we had what's called an uninspected entry into the country. And through that, that makes it so I'm ineligible for any of the ways to earn citizenship. So, I grew up here. I went to elementary school, middle school, high school here. I worked two jobs to pay for my degree here in Denver. And now I'm working here in the community. And, I've been here for 22 years now, since I was 3 years old. I am one of these children that could have been separated by Trump's immigration policy. But here I am today showing the world that we're more than just the caricature the president keeps trying to paint us to be. We are valued members of our community. And I think there's another wrinkle to this. A lot of these people now are coming because of a lot of very violent situations in their home countries. And they're coming here with the intention of seeking asylum, which is perfectly legal. But a lot of the president's supporters keep saying that even just seeking asylum here is illegal. And the president has taken steps to limit people being able to enter into ports of entry to even be able to claim asylum. So what that is driving is all these people that would otherwise come to a legal port of entry and ask for asylum are now not being allowed to even do that and are forced to find alternate ways to try to get in the country. So it's kind of a catch-22 what the president is doing with our immigration system. These people are fleeing for their lives, fleeing violence, fleeing political persecution in many cases. And they're coming here hoping to seek safety for themselves and their families. And the government is shutting the door on them. And then when they try to find another way in to save their families, then they're being prosecuted for it.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Christian Solano Cordova. He is with us from the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, which is a statewide organization that works to advocate for workable, fair, and humane immigration policies. Can you talk about some legislation here in Colorado in regards to immigration issues that we should be following, some laws that recently passed? There are others that may be coming up for a vote or proposed.
The Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition and all of our member organizations across the state, we voted on two policy proposals that we would be focusing on this year, the Eligibility Colorado Road and Community Safety Act. So this was actually one of our one of the bills that we've been working on for multiple years. This is the bill that a lot of the agricultural sectors here in Colorado advocated for because access to driver's licenses for undocumented peoples is really something that's important to a lot of agricultural people across the state, ensuring that their workers can get to and from work safely without risking being, you know, detained for something as simple as a driver's license. So we were able to pass this bill through both chambers of the legislature, which were controlled by opposing political parties. Our second policy proposal this year was called Virginia's Law. So we introduced Virginia's Law this session, which would protect public spaces for all Coloradans. So I'm speaking of schools, hospitals, and courts. Virginia is named after Virginia Mencinas. She was detained by immigration agents after she called 911 for help after being attacked by her husband. When law enforcement arrived, the Garfield County Sheriff's Department arrived, she feared that her husband, who is a legal permanent resident, would be in trouble and he would be deported and therefore you know, potentially endangering her legal status as well. So at that point, she decided to not say anything. And this is common among domestic violence victims, regardless of immigration status, where, you know, someone will report something and then kind of take it back because they're afraid that, you know, their abuser will continue abusing them or will use some power structure over them. So in this case, the immigration system. And so she decided to kind of take back what she had reported to the police, which was that her husband had threatened her with a gun. And so as a result, the Garfield County Sheriff's Office decided to arrest Virginia for false reporting. Although the charges were quickly dropped, the County Sheriff's Department actually got in contact with immigration enforcement authorities and let them know that they had an undocumented immigrant in their jail. And so even though she was no longer charged with a crime of false reporting, for 2 weeks, the sheriff's department held Virginia in jail, waiting for immigration to pick her up without any medical attention. And so I think the end goal of this bill would be to ensure that everybody feels safe calling local authorities so that they can report crimes without fear of being put in a position where their safety is compromised. So this kind of this type of thing also comes into play when it comes to courthouses and, you know, witnesses to crimes. What we've seen a lot happening here in the courts here in Denver is ICE agents are just in plain clothes waiting around, and they have a picture of you know, undocumented individual. And so we've had cases where, you know, somebody shows up to testify for a crime and immigration is there to pick up the witness. They're, you know, interfering with the crime and not letting the justice system actually play out and adjudicate this person. And so that's what Virginia's law would do. It would prevent, you know, our local enforcement authorities from turning over people like Virginia to immigration authorities. And it would also limit the role of immigration in public spaces.
So how can people be involved in the state of Colorado to help and to educate themselves and to be allies and to be helpful and supportive to the immigrant community in Colorado?
You know, I think first things is showing up at a rally if there's one near you. We have people working in every corner of the state, you know, working hard to set up rallies to show the public support for keeping families together. You know, I think aside from that, you know, you can get connected with a local organization. The Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition is composed of dozens of member organizations in every corner of the state, including along the West Slope and in southwestern Colorado. You know, stay connected with one of those organizations if you want to become more deeply involved. But as always, the one of the most important things you can do is call your congresspeople or senators and let them know your displeasure with what's happening with immigration enforcement. You know, I think what is happening right now is the Trump administration is kind of using children and Dreamers as kind of leverage to try to get as many concessions from congressional Democrats. And so he's pinning the blame of his own policy of separating families on Democrats to put pressure on Democrats to vote for his bill. which would cut legal immigration by 40% and would actually not do anything to solve the family separation issue except deport whole families together. And so we really need the public to call your Congress people, call your senators, and let them know that you do not stand for the White House's immigration priorities, and that you do not stand with their family separation policy. Frankly, I never thought that our country would come to this point. You know, and as I talk to Holocaust survivors or Japanese internment camp survivors, it seems like we're starting to see a dark shadow of our past. And it's frightening, to be honest, but we can't let that fear put us in a state of paralysis. We need to take action and get involved in our communities and call our Congress people, because if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. And we need to stand up for those that, you know, who don't have a voice, like these children in these detention centers aren't going to have a voice if we're not out here advocating for them.
Christian Solano Cordova from the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Allie. I really appreciate your time.